thought you did. So we rather Baruch Krasner.
So we're in the period of Sfira Saima. I'd like to start by discussing some aspects of the halachas of Sfira Saima, and then hope to branch out onto other topics which are relevant and connected to the topics we've discussed in Sfira Saima. So firstly, I'd like to start Siman Tov Pei Tes, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the halachas of counting the Omer, as opposed to the conduct during the period of the Omer. And the Mishnah Berurah towards the beginning, in Sif Katan Hei of Siman Tov Pei Tes, discusses the idea of Shomea Ka'oneh with regards to Sfiras Ha'omer. So what does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah says that we know ideally when you're counting the Omer, so you count yourself and you say the day of the Omer, and that way you perform the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'omer. So the Mishnah says, what happens if you hear the counting from somebody else, and they have in mind to be Motzi you, and you have in mind to be Yotze, to perform your mitzvah through hearing the counting from somebody else? Can you do the mitzvah in that way or not? So he says, we know with Kiddush, with Havdalah, that we can be Yotze by hearing the bracha from somebody else. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us, the Gemara learns from Sukkim, there's a concept of Shomea Ka'oneh, somebody who hears a bracha from somebody else, or hears a mitzvah which needs speech from somebody else, Ka'oneh, as if they are saying it themselves. So can we apply this to Sefiras Ha'omer? So Mishnah Berurah says that it seems certainly with regards to the bracha of Sefiras Ha'omer, you can hear that from somebody else. So we know if you've forgotten a day and you're not counting with the bracha anymore, you can ask somebody else to make the bracha on your behalf, and you could be Yotze your bracha in that way with this principle of Shomea Ka'oneh. The question is with the actual counting of the Omer, with Sfiras Ha'omer, if somebody else counts for you, and has in mind to be Motzi, you have in mind to be Yotze, can you do the mitzvah in that way? So what's the source of the suffix, of the dilemma, of the doubt, of whether you can perform the mitzvah? Thank you. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, normally you would say Shomea Ka'oneh. If somebody else speaks for you, you can do the mitzvah in that way. But he says with Sfiras Ha'omer, the Gemara says in Menachos Staf Samach Hei, on the base, Usafartem, Shetei Sefira Lekol Echod Ve'Echod, that counting the Omer, we have a special pasuk, Usafartem Lochem, that the Sfiras Ha'omer should be done for each individual person. The Gemara says a similar thing with Arba Minim, Lekachtem Lochem. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean, or Sfaratim Lochem, that every person should have an individual Sefira? So some Rishonim, Achronim say that means that we don't say that the Beis Din should count on behalf of everyone. Every individual person should count the Omer by themselves. And because we have this drasha from the Gemara, that every individual person should count Sefira Omer themselves, so therefore some Achronim, Paskin, that you can't hear Sfiras Ha'omer from somebody else because of this pasuk, or Sfaratim Lochem, every person should count individually. Others say, no, the Gemara doesn't mean that. And the Gemara just means that what the Beis Din shouldn't count on behalf of everyone else, but still, if somebody else counted for you, you can still perform the mitzvah in that way through this principle of Shomea Ka'oneh. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a machlokes. You should ideally count again without a bracha. If you do it like this, and in the Bi'ah Halacha, he goes into more detail, and he brings, on the one side, you have the Levush and the Chok Yaakov, who says it doesn't work, the Pichadosh and the Levush, says it does work. And he brings a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim, and I'd like to speak about, because it's relevant to another question, which I had in a different context. So the Bi'ah Halacha, he brings in the Bi'ah Halacha, that on the one hand, if you look at Rashi there, it seems that every person should count for themselves and shouldn't hear the counting from somebody else. But then he brings a Maritz Geus, he says, he says, this is what they used to do in their shuls. With Sfiras Ha'omer, we know you should ideally count standing up. The Gemara says, the Posekim learn, Mehochel Chermish Bakoma. Koma, we learn Koma, you should be standing up while you count Sfiras Ha'omer. So he says that what they used to do on shul on Motzei Shabbos, so after they finished Mariv, so they'd say, Vihinoyam, and then Kaddish afterwards, and then they count Sfiras Ha'omer after Vihinoyam and the Kaddish. Now, our minhag is generally we stand up for Vihinoyam. I believe this is from the Arizal. But others say, but it seems to be their minhag was that they would sit down for vihinoyam, and the shliach tzibur would be standing. And the Maariv Gaon says, yeah, the shliach tzibur was standing, everyone else was sitting for vihinoyam, and they didn't want to be matriach, everyone else to stand up, and therefore the shliach tzibur would count on behalf of everybody else. He would say the bracha and count on behalf of everybody else, so that everybody else could be sitting down. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, well, clearly, if the whole purpose of this conduct of the Shliach Tzibur doing it for everybody else, he wasn't just saying the bracha for everyone else, he was counting for everybody else, because otherwise they'd have to stand up when they would hear him counting. So, Mishnah Berurah says, we see from this Maariv Gaon that the fact that the Shliach Tzibur would be standing, everyone else would be sitting, and they would continue sitting for the whole thing, for the bracha and for the Sfiras HaOmer, that tells me that you can be Yotze Sfiras HaOmer through the Shliach Tzibur saying it on behalf of everyone else, and they were Yotze through Shemei HaKa'oneh, and when they were performing the mitzvah of Shemei HaKa'oneh, they did not need to stand up. So, see, there are different opinions about, with regards to Shemei HaKa'oneh, whether you could be Yotze, whether you can't be Yotze. From this minhag mentioned, from the Maariv Gaon, we see you can perform the mitzvah through the chazan saying it on behalf of everybody else. In the Mishnah Berurah here of Eben Yisrael, Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, he makes an interesting point. This is sort of digressing, moving away from Sfiras HaOmer. It's relevant to other mitzvahs. He says, so what would happen there? The Shliach Tzibur would say the bracha and the Sfiras HaOmer, and then everybody else would be yotze while sitting down, so they wouldn't have to stand up for the mitzvah. He says, okay, so for Sfiras HaOmer, I understand that the chazan who's counting the omer, he's standing, everyone else is sitting. But he says, what about the bracha? He says that there's a principle that for birkas hamitzvahs, when you're saying a bracha for a mitzvah, for megillah, for shofar, so for the bracha, for a mitzvah, you should be standing up. So the person saying the bracha should be standing up. What if you're hearing the bracha from somebody else? Do you also need to be standing up? Or can you be sitting down? So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Megillah, Tov Reish Tzadi, in a Sharat Tzion there, he says even if you're listening to the bracha, you should be standing up. And therefore, in many places, when you hear the Megillah, so everyone stands up for the brachas, and then for hearing the Megillah, you don't have to stand up to hear the Megillah, everyone sits down after the brachas. Or even if somebody's reading it themselves, so you'd stand up for the brachas, and then you'd sit down for the actual. You can sit down for the reading Megillah. The Balkari needs to stand for the tibur, but you know by himself he could sit down. So Rishon Yaakov said, he asks on this minog. He says, okay, I understand that the tibur could be sitting down for Sfiras HaOmer, but what about the bracha? When they hear the bracha from the chazan, surely they should need to stand up, because even hearing a birkas hamitzvah should require them to stand up. So we see here the minhag was that they would sit down when they're hearing the bracha. And in fact, if you look in the poskim, they say that there are different opinions. And some say you need to stand if you're hearing a bracha for a mitzvah. Others say you don't need to.
What's about Kiddush Friday night?
Kiddush Friday night.
Everybody sits down. Then you say
Mikados. Yeah. So there are different considerations. So there, there's not really birkas hamitzvahs, I don't think. I don't think that's a bracha on a mitzvah. That there, the bracha is the mitzvah, and there, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say you make it sitting down because it's more of a kvias, where everyone's together. Others say you should say it's standing up. I don't think that's a bracha on a mitzvah. I think there, the bracha is the mitzvah, and therefore you can sit down for that. The different minhagim, some say it's standing up, I say it's standing up, others say it's sitting down. So we see there are different opinions of on whether you need to stand up when you're hearing a bracha of a mitzvah. So when I first thought about this was on Rosh Hashanah, so when we're about to blow the shofar, so first we'll blow the tzkis to miyushev, and then the tzkis to me'umud. The Gemara calls the first set of shofar blasts, we'll blow the tzkis to miyushev. That means there's no chiyuv to stand up for the first time you're hearing the shofar. The second time you hear the shofar is during Shemona Esrei, or Chazaras Hashatz, depending on your nusach, and then you stand up. But the first time you hear the shofar, Me'ikar Din, the basic halacha is Tkiyas Demiyushev, you could be sitting down. The minhag is that people stand up, but you could be sitting down. So if you haven't had a break in shul, and you're following on from Kriya Satira, so at that point you have people holding the Sefer Torah before Tekiyas Shofar. So normally we say with people holding the shofar, holding the Sefer Torah, that they should be sitting down as much as possible, even though, let's say, somebody normally stands for leaning, but if they're holding a Sefer Torah, they'd be sitting down. Even for Kaddish, you know, normally we stand for Kaddish, somebody holding a Sefer Torah, normally he'd be sitting down because he's holding a Sefer Torah. So what about the person holding a Sefer Torah for Tekiyas Shofar? So should they be standing up? Or would they stay sitting down? To be honest, it's the type of question you only have really for the gabbai of a shul, or if the rav of a shul and somebody asks you. Normally, you're not really focusing on these things. I haven't really seen anyone speaking about it. But even if you say they can sit down for the tekiyas shofar, because it's only minhag to stand up, the question is when you hear the bracha of the shofar, is there a chiyuv at that point to stand up because it's birkas hamitzvah? So somebody hearing the bracha of tekiyas shofar, do they need to stand up or can they be sitting down? So as we're seeing here, the minhag was in the bi'alacha, they'd sit down when they heard the bracha from the chazan. So possibly you could say that the people holding the Sefer Torah could stay sitting down for the bracha or tekiyas shofar. Every shul should follow the minhag of what they do for that, because I think it could go either way. Okay, so this is the question of Shomea Ka'ona with Sefira Sa'ima. So the next question I'd like to speak about is with regards to Hirhur, thinking about the day of the Omer. Can you perform the mitzvah through Hirhur, through thinking the day of the Omer? So up to now we've discussed the idea of Shomea Ka'ona, where you're silent and you're hearing somebody else counting on your behalf. What if you are not speaking, you're not sort of articulating the day of the Omer, but in your mind you're thinking of what day of the Omer it is? So let's say you're at Nacht, after Maariv, you're at the time where you could count the Omer. Instead of thinking today is, whatever, the fifth. Sorry, instead of saying the day of the Omer, you think the day of the Omer. Sorry? You don't count like that, yeah. Right, okay, so you might think, why would you count, somebody wants to count like that. I suppose the question would be, if somebody counted in their machshava, one thought the day of the Omer, does that then impact on your ability to count with a bracha? Have you done the mitzvah to a certain extent if you've counted through thinking the day of the Omer? Yeah, so not exactly. So before you do it, it normally involves thinking about the Omer. So, yeah, okay. So as you say, counting, you would think... If you do it in the day. I'm sorry? Again, in the day, yeah. We're talking about at the night time, where that's the ideal time. So as you say, counting, you would think, has to be, sparta has to be with some speech. But to be honest, I haven't seen anyone really giving that svara, that argument that you have to count by speech, because that is counting. The main sugya, the main discussion of the Gemara with regards to whether thinking is like speaking, is a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf on the base. And there the Gemara has a question: Hirhur kedibur dami. Do we say hirhur, thought, is like speaking or not? The Gemara there is discussing Kriya Shema. Can you be yotze Kriya Shema by thinking through the words of Kriya Shema? Or do you have to say the words, articulate the words, in order to be yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Right, the positive case is the dibar tabom. You have to speak about it. Do you say that means you have to speak it? Or can you think about it? Is that sufficient? So the Gemara brings two opinions. The Gemara brachos dachav. Ravina says, hirhur kedibur dami, that you can perform the mitzvah if you thought about Kriya Shema as well. Rav Chista says, hirhur lav kedibur dami, thinking about the mitzvah, thinking about Kriya Shema is not the same as speaking. You have not performed the mitzvah if you think through the words of Kriya Shema. So how do we paskin with regards to hirhur kedibur? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Simon Samach Beis, so this is Hilchos Kriya Shema. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like Rav Chista, that hirhur lav kedibur dami. So the Shulchan Aruch on Simon Samach Beis says, ideally you should say Kriya Shema at a volume where you can hear what you're saying. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, Now, ideally, you should hear what you're saying. At least you should say the words of Krishna. So, the Mishabura says, we see from here, hirhu lav kedibur. It's not enough to think it, you have to actually say it. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch continues, and it says, if somebody wasn't well or had another form of onus where he wasn't able to say the words of Krishna, at that point, if you said Krishna beliba, if you thought about Krishna, you said it in your mind rather than speech, you are yotze. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you're yotze, but yotze to a certain extent, and if you can say it later on, you should try and say it again. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it really looks from here, hear her love. Kidibur Domi. In the Bi'ur Halacha, he goes to great lengths to explain this, how he shows the Rishonim and the Acharonim Paskin like this. It's very interesting. He says there's a question he has from Simon Pehei, which is Simon Peh, which is interesting, the mouth. He says in Pehei, it says you shouldn't think about Dvarim Shebi Kedusha in a place where there's dirt, in the Beis HaKisya, the Beis HaMerachot, seemingly Hirhu Kedibur. But then he says it's Simon Kuf Pehei, again, Peh. Which is, he says, Kim Kuf Pehei in Hilchos Brachos HaMazon, we see that you need to say benching, and therefore he says it seems from many different places, hear her love Kedibur Domi, you really need to say something which requires speech, and it's not enough just to think about it. If you're interested, for those of you interested to look at this in more detail, Shagas Aryeh has two long simonim where he discusses at very great length hear her Kedibur for various mitzvahs. The conclusion seems to be hear her love Kedibur Domi, you really need to speak when you want to do a mitzvah. So if we apply this to Sfiras HaEmel, although the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really speak about it clearly, so we would say that you need to say the words, you need to articulate what day of the Omer in order to perform the mitzvah. It's not enough to think about what day of the Omer it is. And this actually comes up discussed clearly and specifically in two places that I saw. So the first one is a very interesting case. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about somebody who plans to say one thing and ends up saying another thing. Something that we may have done, not necessarily with Sfiras HaEmel, but in other contexts in conversation. So the Shulchan Aruch in Tov Kuf Pei Tes Sif Vav says in Pasach V'Omar, somebody who wanted to count a particular day of the Omer, Pasach V'Omar Baruch Atah Hashem Lekein Malachem Adata Delema Hayem Dalad Shosava Shudalad, he thought it was day 4, Venizka V'Siyim Behe, and then he changed Ayipcha, this is the case I want to focus on, Shem Dalad, it was day 4 of the Omer, and he intended to say the bracha and to count day 4, because it was day 4. V'ta'a v'siyim behei. And he made a mistake, and day 5 came out of his mouth. So he wanted to say it was day 4, but he planned to say day 4. And in the end, he said the wrong day, and he said day 5. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so you might have done the mitzvah. Eina chayza umavarech. If you've done that, you can't go back, if there's been some time delay, at least, you know, after Tarech Dezibur, you can't go back and say the mitzvah of the bracha. You might have done the mitzvah. And everyone asks on this, the Mishnah Berurah and all the Acharonim, they say, it doesn't make sense. How can this make sense? You didn't say the correct day. You knew the correct day. You wanted to say the correct day, but you said the wrong day. How can it be that you've performed the mitzvah? And the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't paskin like this. You can go back and make a bracha, because there's no way that you've done the correct bracha. So Mishnah Berurah here, he quotes from the Prichadosh and other Acharonim, that it doesn't matter that you intended to say the right day. So Acharonim Tomuwal didn't say that they don't understand it. The scheme is the Tzarech Lisba Rechadosh Elavarech. So the Prichadosh says on this, says it doesn't matter that you were thinking about the correct day, because Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, he says, that we've seen, it's not enough that you thought and that you intended to say the correct day, at the end of that you have to actually say it. And therefore, if you didn't say the correct day, you haven't performed the mitzvah. Another place that this is discussed is with regards to somebody who writes a letter during the Omer and writes the day of the Omer in his letter. So, let's say it's nighttime, day five, let's say, and he begins to compose a letter, and in his date of the letter he says, Shabbos Kodesh, whatever, and Yom Heila Omer. So he writes the day of the Omer in his letter. So the question is, okay, we've said Hiru Lav Kadibur, you haven't been yotzei if you don't actually say it. What if you write the day of the Omer? Have you performed the mitzvah? Can you cancel again afterwards with a bracha? So the Shai Shiva here brings this fourth shivas in Rabbi Kiva Eger's Shalas of Shivas. Yeah, so let's say you write that. You write it Hayom Yom Heila Omer, whatever, on the correct day. So, sorry, you have to say it. Yeah, okay, so that's the question. Do you say Kasiva Kedibur? Do you say writing the day of the Omer is similar to saying, or counts on the same level as verbalizing the Omer? So there's four shuvas of Rabbi Kiva about this. Simon Chavtes, Lama 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 Beis. It's very interesting that it's a back and forth between his uncle, Rabbi Kiva Eger's uncle, Binyamin Wolf Eger. And this was a letter that was written seemingly during Rabbi Kiva Eger's Sheva Brachos, where his uncle writes him. They discuss about the Sheva Brachos and wishes in Mazel Tov, and he says, with regards to what we were discussing at the Sheva Brachos, so it seems like they had this very deep discussion about Kasiva Kadiva, and that resulted in back and forth four letters between Rabbi Kiva Eger and his uncle about Kasiva Kadibur. Rabbi Wolf Eger, Rabbi Kiva Eger's uncle, is very adamant that writing is love. It's not sufficient. You haven't done the mitzvah, and you can count afterwards with the bracha. Rabbi Kiva Eger is not so sure about that. But it's interesting that one of the proofs that Rabbi Wolf Eger brings, that writing the Omer is not like speaking, he brings a proof from the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Pesach. The Beis Yosef says there, with regards to Biur Bedikas Chametz, so we know Aril Arba Asa, the day before Pesach, we check for Chametz, we make a bracha al Biur Chametz. So the Beis Yosef asks, so why don't we make a bracha al bittel chametz, on bittel chametz, the mitzvah of tashbisu, where you say, the bottle, v'lehefka, kafra da'ara, kol chamira. So he says, because the main mitzvah of bittel chametz is belave. The main mitzvah of being mevatel chametz is your attitude towards it in your mind, in your heart. And dvarim shebelave, you don't make a bracha on Devarim Shebelev. Something where the main mitzvah is done in your mind, you don't make a bracha on that. And therefore, we make a bracha on the Bedikah, on the Biur, because there it's an action, and you make a bracha on an action, but not on thought. So, Rav Wolfegger brings the right. If you make a bracha on Sfira Sa'omer, it must be that Chazal had in mind that you would say the day of the Omer rather than counting in your mind, because if you can count in your mind, then we see you wouldn't necessarily make a bracha on such a thing. So if we see that they made a bracha for Sfiras Omer, it must be that you could only be Yotze Sfiras Omer through saying, through articulating the day of the Omer. Okay, so that's the discussion with regards to Sfiras Omer. So I'd just like to move on to a slightly different topic, connected with thought and speech. So the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Chavav Amud Beis, actually sort of connected to this discussion of writing with regards to Dibur. The Gemara says that when it comes to making a Shavuah, the Gemara in Shavuah says, with regards to making a Shavuah, you have to say a Shavuah if you want it to be a valid Shavuah, because the Pasuk says, Levate Bisfosayim. You have to say the Shavuah rather than just thinking about it. The Gemara says, Gomar Bilibai. If you had in mind to make a Shavuah, that's not a valid Shavuah. You have to actually say the Shavuah that you want to make. The Gemara says, however, with regards to hekdesh, somebody wants to be makdesh something, somebody wants to take truma. So in those cases, we say gomar b'libay, it's actually chal. You could be makdesh something, you can make something hekdesh, you can make something truma, just by thought, by a decision, gomar b'libay, even though you don't actually say that the hekdesh or the truma should be chal. We learn it from Sukkim, kol nadiv leiv, or v'nech shav lochem. Look in Rashi and Tosfos there, they explain that why Truma and Kodshim are different. But we learn with regards to these two things, if you think about it, it's enough. However, with regards to Shavuos and other things, as we said, you actually need to say it in order for it to be chal, to be valid. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav says that with tzedakah, if you say that you're going to give tzedakah, that has the status of a neder. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, speaking about Shavuos, and it says, Moitza Svasecha, it says, Asher Debarta Beficha. Beficha, with your mouth, Tosa says, links to another pasuk which speaks about tzedakah. If you say, even though you don't say, I'm making a shvua, I'm making a neder, if you say, I'm going to give tzedakah, that has the status of a neder, that's called Nidre Tzedakah. So with tzedakah, if you say you're going to, that is sufficient to be mechayev you to create this neder for giving tzedakah. Now, so the Rishonim discuss, what happens if you think about giving tzedakah? What happens if you say, you know, think in your mind, I want to give tzedakah, but you don't actually say, you don't make a verbal commitment, I am going to give tzedakah. Is tzedakah like hekdesh, where we say with hekdesh, im gomar b'libay, that works, or is tzedakah like a regular neder or a shvur, where you actually have to say that you want to do it in order for the neder or the shvur to work? So it's a machlokas rishonim, two different opinions in the rishonim, the machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rosh, whether thinking, making a commitment in your head without articulating, whether that makes a neder for tzedakah. The Rama in Siman Reish Nun Ches brings two opinions. He says, im choshav b'libo, if you thought to give tzedakah, some say that is like a neder. Yesharim, some say it's not like a neder. V'ha'ikah kisvar rishonah, he says that the Rama paskens really, if you think about it, even though you don't say it, we are choshish that that is like a neder, and therefore you should honor that commitment. It has a very serious level, possibly like a neder, with regards to somebody who thought about giving tzedakah. So this is a very serious thing in Nadarim. So I just wanted to speak a little bit about the nature of this thing of thinking of giving tzedakah. So what level of conscious decision do you have to make to give tzedakah for it to be regarded as this level of where we think it's possibly an aid, and therefore you really have to make sure that you do it? So for instance, let's say you're sitting in shul, somebody walks in collecting money for tzedakah, and you think, you know, if he comes, if he approaches you, you will give him tzedakah. You know, let's say you have, you know, 50p a pound in your pocket. You think if he comes over to you, you will give it to him. Is that considered a commitment where, you know, that's gomar b'libay, that you're going to give tzedakah? Or is that the stage before a commitment? That's the possibility you will do it, but not really a commitment to do it. You said if, yeah. So I'll tell you the incident that happened to me yesterday. So somebody was collecting for tzedakah. I only had sort of a larger note. So I said, would you mind coming back? He didn't have change. I said, would you mind coming back when you have change? And then I'll give you the note. You can give me change. So I thought, you know, I knew I was going to speak about this topic. So I was thinking, is that considered a commitment? You know, I wanted to give the tzedakah. On the other hand, I didn't think I was going to because I wasn't able to at the time because he didn't have the change. So at what level do you say that is called a commitment to giving tzedakah? So certainly, one who thinks I am going to give tzedakah, that would be the level, you know, whereas the Ramah says you should then treat it like a neder. But what about this stage before that? So I'll just introduce my answer with an idea I heard once from Rav Shmulev at Zichron Levracha, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Mir. He said the following thought from his father, Rav Chaim Shmulev at Zichron Levracha. So Rav Chaim asked the question. He said, with Truma, when you take Truma, the Gemara says you can take, the Gemara Bava Masiyah says you can take Truma with a shliach. You can send an agent to take Truma on your behalf. And we learn it from a pasuk, atem gamatem the rabbi shluchachem. So Rav Chaim asked, so why do we need the pasuk that you can send a shliach to take truma? He says, every time you send a shliach, you want to take the truma. So as soon as you appoint your shliach to take truma, you've thought in your head, I want to take truma. So why do we need a special pasuk that says you can appoint a shliach to take the truma? As soon as you've, even without the pasuk, as soon as you've tried to send somebody to take truma on your behalf, you've decided that you wanted to take truma. That in itself should count as taking truma as soon as you have sort of wanted to take truma and you've appointed somebody. Why do you need a special pasuk? It's enough that you've wanted to take the truma. And he answered, there's a difference between wanting and taking truma. So if somebody thinks to themselves, I want to take truma now, then we would say that works to take the trimmer. Somebody who wants to take trimmer has a desire, has a wish, but doesn't think in his mind, I am taking trimmer. That is not
physically separated. What's the taking trimmer?
Because the Gemara says you can look at it, you can make the hafrasha. It says einov b'tzad echod v'oichel b'tzad acher. You can look at one side of it and think I'm going to take trimmer there, and that works for trimmer as long as obviously you leave it and you'll take the trimmer, give it to the kohen later on. But the hafrasha works when you think about taking the trimmer. So he says there's a difference between thinking I am taking the trimmer and I want to take the trimmer. So similarly with tzedakah, again, please ask a Rav if this shaila comes up. So I saw Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, Zichron Arach, who's the Rav of Sanhedrin, who's on the Eidah Charedis. He has a sefer, tzedakah or mishpat, where he speaks about the loss of tzedakah. So there he says a similar thing with regards to tzedakah. So he says, the Gemara says, Gomar Beliboy. There has to be that decision that you are taking, that you want to give tzedakah. But he says, Im Ola Beliboy, if you just thought that, you know, maybe he will if that person comes back, maybe he will if you thought that you would want to at a later stage, but not actually made that decision. So he says, that it seems to him that wouldn't be a neder. He compares it to Kabbalah's Tanis, where the Magen Avraham says, somebody who wants to start a tannis is not the same as somebody who actually makes that decision to start the tannis. He leaves it to Tzarech Iyun because the Ramah says Choshav Beliba, he wanted to. So he says Tzarech Iyun, but he definitely seems more inclined to say you actually have to think I am going to give tzedakah. I have heard that from other Rabbonim as well. Again, please ask a Shaila if this is relevant. He makes another interesting point. He says normally with regards to tzedakah, somebody who says, let's say somebody who makes a neder and he says, I will give tzedakah to a particular oni, particular person, and then he wants to change his mind and give it to another oni. So, and he gives it to that other oni. Has he performed his neder by giving tzedakah to a different person, to the one he initially said? So this is a machlokas, whether you can change me'oni la'oni. With nidre tzedakah, can you change me'oni la'oni? Again, two different deyas in the achronim. Again, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy brings these two different opinions. But what he says is, whilst somebody who says, I'm going to give tzedakah to a particular person, so we say this day that you shouldn't give it to somebody else, what happens if you think that you want to give tzedakah to a particular person? So let's say somebody comes into shul and you think, I want to give tzedakah to that person. You know, you then go on with davening and that person walks out and goes off somewhere else. Are you obligated to run after the person to try and find him because you thought that you wanted to give money to him? So he says, no. That with regards to thinking about tzedakah, we're not that machmir. It's not really like saying you want to give tzedakah, where if you thought you wanted to give tzedakah to a particular person, that you have to give it to that particular person. He says, even if you really thought you wanted to give tzedakah to that particular person, if you never actually said it, we wouldn't be so machmir that you have to run after that person, and it would be enough to give the money. If you're holding that thinking is sufficient, then you can perform the mitzvah by giving it to another oni. As long as you give that money to tzedakah, it doesn't have to be to that particular to that particular person. Although, as we'll see, there may be other inyonim, so midas chasidus involved. I haven't seen that would make a difference. I think and I can't say for sure, but I think with giving a neder, we say there's the picha, you have to make a verbal commitment. I don't think that was part of the discussion with writing a letter, actually, whether a maisa of writing is comparable to saying. So it seems to be a machlokas with writing, but there it's stronger because you're actually writing what you would otherwise have said. Taking a voucher out is not really even the extent of writing what the commitment. I wouldn't have thought that that's like saying, but I can't say for sure. Just by the way, the again, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy discusses this idea that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam discourage making the dorim for tzedakah. And the dorim is a very serious thing. And therefore, whilst giving tzedakah is a wonderful thing, a very big mitzvah, they discourage making verbal nadarim and commitments to say to give tzedakah, because it's such a serious thing. If you don't give it, the Gemara says how serious avoy nadarim is, and therefore you should, if you're making a commitment, you should say bli neder. There's a whole discussion about the minhagim for misha beirati. I don't know if what the minhag is in here in this shul, other shul. It used to be they would always say misha nodar when they were giving a misha beirach, and they would make it the lashon of neder. And all the places we've discussed that, they're not so happy about making a neder to give tzedakah to a shul, and therefore they encourage that you say bli neder. And I think sort of the more common minhag nowadays is that when you make an undertaking to give tzedakah to a shul after a neder, you say bavur she is a bli neder, because it's a very serious thing to commit with the level of a neder to giving tzedakah. Okay, so we've said. We discussed the idea of dibur, that for things where you need dibur, there's a question whether hirhu is on the level of dibur. And we've said for most things, hirhu lavka dibur dom is not quite on the same level. At the same time, we find in the Gemara that there's a midas chassidus, and we find very great people in the Gemara who are very particular, even if they thought about something, that they would then continue to carry it out because of a mid of being consistent with their thoughts. That if they thought about something, that they wanted to do something, especially if it was relevant to somebody else, they'd always make sure to do it. So one of the Achronim, the Yad Avraham in Simon Reish Nun Ches, quotes the Gemara in Tanis, fascinating Gemara in Tanis, Daf Chaf Beis, Omud. The Gemara brings a story of Abba Umna, Abaya, and Rava. The Gemara says Rava used to have a bus call once a year from Shamayim to say, give him Shalom. Abaya had once a week on Erev Shabbos, he had Shalom from heaven, from Shamayim, the bus call. And there was somebody called Abba Umna, who was a doctor, he used to be a bloodletter. And he used to get Shalom with a bus call every day. And Abai couldn't understand it. It was Chol Shadati. He was, he understood Rava, once a year. Abai, once a week. These are the Amoraim, but Abba Umna was a doctor. I said, what did he do to get a bus call every day from Shamayim? So the Gemara speaks about the godless of Abba Umna. He was very much on tzinius. He wouldn't charge people for his medical care. He'd just give a box, and if people wanted to give, they could give. He wouldn't charge Talmidei Chachamim. It says Abaya sent his Talmidim to test Abba Umna to see how great he was. The Gemara says his Talmidim went along. They stayed in Abba Umna's house. And they slept on some mattresses, woolen sheets that he'd laid out for them. After they'd slept there, they went off and they took them. And they went off to the marketplace and they were going to sell them. Abba Umna went to the market, and the Gemara seems to say they were trying to sell it to Abba Umna. He was trying to sell him his own things. And Abba Umna said the price of how much he'd pay for them. And they said, are you sure that's the correct price? Maybe it's a bit more. And he said, no, it's the correct price. And he was prepared to buy them back. He didn't make a fuss that they'd stolen his own things. Then they told him, we've only been sent to test you. We wouldn't really behave like this. But tell us, what did you think when you saw us behaving this way? So he said, well, I thought you had an urgent case of pigeon shvuyim of tzedakah, and therefore you needed to take them to sell it. So they said, okay, have them back. He said, no, I'm not taking them back, because I decided in my mind I was going to give them away for tzedakah. And therefore, you can keep them, give them to tzedakah, because since I had in mind that I wanted to give it to tzedakah, that's it. The Gemara says that, and that was the midas chassidus of Abba Umna. He was zaycha to a bas kol every day, because he was particular. When he thought about something, he honored it. Finally, just to finish with the Gemara in Makkos, the Gemara in the last daf of Makkos, the Chaftalah, speaks about Rav Safra. The Gemara says, Doive emes bil vavai. The Gemara says, this is Rav Safra. Rav Safra was saying Krishma. Somebody approached him, wanted to buy something from him, and he said, I'll give you £50 for it. Rav Safra carried on saying Krishma. He said, I'll give you £100. He carried on saying Krishma, £150. Eventually, Rav Safra finished, and he said, I'll give you the first price, because when you offered the first price, I already thought I was going to sell it. Dover emes plavavai. The Marsha says he was on the level where chulin is like hektish. Even though it was business, hektish, when you think about hektish, it's chal. For Rav Safra, even business, that was on the level of hektish, right? He made a decision and he honored it. The Gemara says the first question when you go up to Shemayim, nosasav and nosasav emunah, and Rav Safra took that to the extent, even his thoughts, he wanted that to be honest on the same level as his speech. So this is the level we can all aspire to as we work towards Shavuos, where we try to be a Mamlechas Kohenim v'Goy Kodesh.